keep his eyes on grace. Did God answer his prayer to fake it away? No. Prayer the second time morning? No. What about the third time? Well, God said, what I read to you, he said to me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's almost an enigma. The weaker we are, the stronger we are. Let me give you some principles. For the maturing believer, and hopefully that's you, hopefully it's me, that's the believer that has believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's the believer that understands the mechanics to the Spirit-filled life by the use of rebound, his problem-solving device, number one, in the flat line of his soul. That's the believer who understands that he's to grow in the grace and the knowledge of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the maturing believer. He takes in the Word of God on a daily basis. He's not a member of the nod to God crowd. He's not your traditional Christian that just shows up one day a week, puts on a suit, goes to church, puts some money in the offering plate, goes home, and promptly forgets everything that he heard. It's ritual without reality. If you are going to church and it's ritual without reality, it is meaningless. It means nothing to you. It must not be ritual. Your Christian life is based on a relationship founded through faith alone in Christ alone. And it's not a religious ritual that you go through to impress God. So if you are a maturing believer, then you are actually at your strongest point when you are the weakest in life. Did you hear that? When you are weak, you're really strong. Listen, this is what Paul said. My most gladly would I rather glory in my testing, in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So at this point of weakness, because of testing, you and I will either turn to God for support or we will turn away from God in bitterness. Whenever unfair circumstances happen in your life, like were happening to Paul, this thorn in the flesh from Satan, whatever it was, there are a lot of different people that guess what it could have been, but it was something 24/7. It was something that nagged at him constantly. It would never go away. It was some sort of suffering that he had. If you had that, would you gripe? Would you complain? Would you be bitter at God? Would you be mad at God because he didn't answer your prayer and he didn't take that away from you? If he doesn't take it away, it's always a reason. Remember, suffering is designed, number one, to either get you to rebound from your unconfessed sin, or it's designed to bless you, to help you to grow, to refine you, to purge out parts of you that don't need to be there. And so at your weakest point, you can be your strongest when you use your grace assets. Even though Paul asked God three times to remove the test, every time he would ask him, God would say, no, no, no. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul's reply is, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly I accept these sufferings, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Now, here's the question. What is the power of Christ? Do you hear what? What is the power of Christ? That's what Paul is saying. I accept this so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Wow. Well, what do you think the power of Christ is? Let me give you the answer. It begins with the mandate to grow in grace. Keep on growing in the Spirit of grace, 2 Peter 3:18 says. Keep on growing in the Spirit of grace and in the Spirit of knowledge about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to him both now and glory to him in the day of eternity. Amen. The strength of Jesus Christ was the grace of God. The strength of Jesus Christ is the grace of God, that you utilize the same grace assets that he utilized. This is grace orientation, a problem-solving device. Problem-solving device number four on the flat line of your soul, grace orientation. In 1 Peter 4:12, again, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which try you, as though something strange happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of the suffering of Jesus Christ, so that when his glory will be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you are going through unfair testing, you can do one or two things. You can react to the unfair test by getting bitter and by getting mad. And that's a failure to have any humility in your life. That's your own arrogance. It's called self-pity. It's having a little pity party. It is you looking at your own problems, at your own self, and demanding to know why God won't take it away. You get into self-pity. That's nothing more than arrogant reaction to what you deem is unfair. First of all, we must go through unfair testing so that we can mature. Even as a child, were you not disciplined for something that you did not do? Were you not called on the carpet for something that your brother did or your sister did? Were you not disciplined in school for something someone else did? And how did you handle that? Did you get mad? Did you get angry? Did you stomp off and slam the door and I didn't do that and this is not fair? See, this is the arrogant attitude that a lot of believers get when they go through this testing. This is not the attitude you're supposed to have. The attitude you're supposed to have is the attitude of humility. Because the Bible says God makes war against the arrogant, but in fact he gives grace to the humble. The attitude of humility is how you handle unfair testing. And so that's why Peter says, don't think it strange, these trials that try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Listen, it's happening to all believers. All believers are going through these things. And yet, if you center on yourself, if you think you're the only one that's having this, then you're dead wrong. I've been through it. You've been through it. We can compare notes. We can talk about the times we suffered and see who suffered the most. And we will suffer more in the future. There's no doubt about it. But suffering for Christ's sake relates to us taking a stand for Jesus Christ, for living in the devil's world and being persecuted because we are believers, and there's a lot of that going on in America today. So the only way that you and I can pass any sort of suffering test is to use the power of Jesus Christ, the same power that he did, which is grace orientation. Was it fair that Christ went to the cross? No. Did he do anything wrong? No. Was he guilty of a crime? No. Did he ever sin? No.